Welcome to our Bible study, the Gospel according to John. Today is Wednesday, September 10th, 2025. We'll be meeting here in the NLA Stock Meeting Room every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. For those listening in on YouTube or Rumble and would like to join us live, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible Studies for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. Our study will be about 45 minutes and a 15-minute Q&A for questions, comments, or corrections. If no one raises their hand, we'll continue the study for the additional 15 minutes. If you have a question, please take note of the book, chapter, and verse so we can easily go back to the verses in question. All right, let's begin with a prayer. Holy, gracious Father in heaven, we pray that we might be diligent and faithful to thy word as we share the gospel with those willing to receive it. We pray for correction in any doctrinal errors that we may have as we look into thy word. Father, bless us as we continue in our study of thy word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's see where we're at here today. Okay, we'll be coming into John chapter 8. We just got a paragraph here, a short paragraph, finish off on chapter 7, where we read in John chapter 7, verse 45. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, Never a man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, Doeth our law judge any man before it hear him, and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look. For out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own home. Okay, so we'll pick up here now in chapter 8 here of John, verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what say thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus then had lifted up himself and saw that none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Let me see if I can make this a little bigger. Okay. All right. We read in Matthew concerning judgment, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? But consider not the beam that is in thine own eye. Or else wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now, I just want to go back here a little bit. You know, I've heard many people speak on these verses, and it's pretty consistent. They come up with the conclusion that when Jesus had stooped down, that he was actually writing the sins of the individuals that wanted to stone him, and starting with the elders first made it, you know, that's really a good common sense thought, because you know, they're the rulers, and as they disappear, and then he's writing more sins of the other people, and they all eventually disappear. I kind of agree with that, although I haven't been able to find anywhere in scriptures that might, you know, give us some strong conclusion on that, but it does make sense, and it is not in conflict with, of course, the scriptures in any way. So I kind of agree with that. But the key thing here that's being taught, of course, is that we should not judge anyone. You know, if we're going to judge anyone, we need to judge ourselves. You know, so we have to take a look of ourselves and judge things within ourselves concerning our heart. We're going to look at some verses here concerning the heart, I think, if I recall. But, you know, if our heart condemns us, okay, then we know we don't have a relationship with Christ. And people avoid that idea of looking really, or maybe just don't even think of it. Well, I think more avoid it. They build a wall up. Okay, they continue in sin maybe and think that they have this relationship with Christ, yet they are filled with many sins that they still play with in their own minds, in the inner man. But we can know, you know, many people have asked, you know, how do I know if I'm saved, you know? And really, and the Bible answers that. If your heart condemns you not, then you know you have a relationship with Christ. So just look at your heart, because out of the heart comes the treasures, you know, either the good treasures or bad treasures. And they come out where? Into the mind. And that's where sin begins, in the mind. So really, it's an easy thing to see if you're really, you know, really honest with yourself and understand and look into your heart. You can discover whether you are truly a child of God or not. Well, we read the same thing here in Luke 6, verse 37. Judge not, that ye shall not be judged, and ye shall be not judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. And I remember, you know, when I first came to Christ, you know, I had held some ill will towards certain individuals, and I had to come to terms with that. And this scripture, you know, that I'm reading here in Luke, you know, really put a lot on my mind. And I came to realize that no matter what, I got to forgive. You know, I think of Stephen when he was killed, and he right before he actually died, and he was looking up into the heavens, and he said he saw the Son of God at the right hand of the Father, and he said, forgive them for the, I don't think he said forgive them that they know what not what they do. That Christ said, of course, but so the Father, forgive them, not to hold this sin to them. And of course Christ did the same thing, considering all that he had went through. And of course, he is the perfect example of how we must forgive. So no matter what a person does to us, or to, you know, in any way, shape, or form, you know, we must forgive those people. And especially your brothers, people who are, you know, close to you, especially those in Christ, you know. Your family, of course, you need to forgive them of anything. Now, sometimes people are real evil and they do terrible things, and you still have to forgive them, but that doesn't mean you have to trust them. That doesn't mean you have to put yourself into harm's way. But nevertheless, for whatever they have put upon you, you need to forgive. We read concerning Christ being the light of the world in verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I come and came, and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. We read concerning the walking in the light, Christ is the light of the world. We must walk in that light in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, Christ, of course, being that word. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And of course, Christ is the light of the world. We are to walk in the Word. We are to walk in the Spirit. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. We read in Galatians concerning sin, brethren, Galatians chapter 5:13. Brethren, we have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that is the key to our relationship with Christ, walking in the Spirit. And to walk in the Spirit is to walk in the Word. You know, to be meditating on God's Word, to being conscious that Christ is with you. But meditating all day long, the Bible talks and teaches us that we are to be praying all the time. And prayer is, true prayer is just having a relationship with Christ, talking with God, confessing your sins, asking for strength, asking for, more faith, and many other things. We're going to read a list of things, and we'll take a look at that. But anyway, so this I say then, walk in the Spirit, that you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're not walking in the flesh. And if you're not walking in the flesh, you're not running into temptation. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reviling, and the such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Okay, going back to bearing witness, you know, we saw that here. Let's go back a little bit. Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. And then, of course, he says again, I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. So the Father beareth witness of him too. We read concerning the witnesses, there's three that bear witnesses in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth, let me reread that, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And again, if you're walking in the Spirit and you're communicating with God and meditating on his word, then you are keeping his, that's keeping his commandments. You know, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we do run into temptations. You know, in this world, where our eyes are open in this world, and we run into temptations. And we have to be careful we don't fall into the sins of the mind. You know, hating someone, not forgiving someone, holding a grudge against someone, lusting over someone, and the list that we had read a little earlier here. Let me see where we're at. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, we keep his word, and his commandments are not grievous. We dwell in his word, and we are comforted in his word. That's the comforter that Christ said he'd send, which is the Holy Spirit working through the word. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And we know that water identifies with the gospel, the saving gospel. And blood identifies with the sacrifice that Christ has made to pay for our sins. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, which is Christ, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. The Father, Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, while ye spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which saith, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And there is the witness even of the Father. And of course, Christ says he does nothing but by the Father. As he sees the Father, so does he. And so again, all these miracles that Christ had performed during those 3.5 years of his ministry, which are probably tens of thousands, maybe even more than that. You know, I mean, it seems that he, wherever he went, he was just healing people all the time. And so, I mean, how these people missed this, how the scribes and the Pharisees, they were so filled with themselves that they were too blind to see. Okay, back to, see, what chapter again are we in? I think we're in 8, aren't we? Yeah, 8. Okay, back to chapter 8, verse 9. Then said they unto him, Where is thy father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, and I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Okay, we do know that prophecy is the signature of the Holy Spirit. Of course, Christ has filled prophecy throughout the Old Testament. Many, many things, prophecies that Christ fulfilled when he came. We read in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5, Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your day, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. We read of this idea also in Acts chapter 13, verse 37. He whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that though through this man, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. So we declare the works of God. Chapter 8, verse 25 now. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted me up, the Son of Man, let me go back and reread that. When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make ye free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Truly, truly, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is servant to sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make ye free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus saith unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth the words of God, heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews, and saith unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan, and hast the devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory, there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Truly, truly, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews, and that's why we need to be pondering the word in our hearts at all time, to keep his word, to keep his sayings. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste the death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead, whom make thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honored myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus saith unto them, truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Okay, we go into Exodus and also into Micah. Again, prophecy is the signature of the Holy Spirit. We read in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I came unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he saith, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. So, of course, Christ is making that point, you know, before Abraham was, I am, Christ being the creator of this world. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall be he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from the old, from everlasting. Verse 59, then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. We read in Psalms chapter 2 concerning these times, verse 1. Why do the heathens rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Jehovah and against his anointed. And of course Christ is his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree of Jehovah hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessels. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve Jehovah with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Okay, chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. I must work the work of him that sent me, while it is day. The night cometh, when no man can work. And that's a reference to the great tribulation, the apostasia, when no man can work, at least not in the churches, because the two witnesses are killed. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said unto them, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes. And you know, this idea of making the clay identifies with him again being the creator. You know, we were formed out of the earth. And said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He saith, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called his parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doeth he now see? His parents answered and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. Now these words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. And the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again they called the man that was blind, and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened thee he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him, and said, thou art his disciples, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvel to the thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes? Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of a God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin, and doest thou teach us? And they cast him out. Now Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he found him, he saith unto him, doest thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped. Okay, looking into the prophets concerning these things, Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from Jehovah, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. When I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessels that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter, to make it. Then the word of Jehovah came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith Jehovah? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hands, O house of Israel. So Christ is the potter. And this picture here, of course, we see with the clay on the blind man's eyes, gives us the picture of who he is. We read in Isaiah 42, verse 1, behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. A bruised reed, it's a branch, shall he not break. Remember, he speaks of us being the branches. So a bruised branch shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. And a flax, of course, is a wick, and if it's smoking, it means that it was lit, but it's still kind of simmering, and he won't even quench that. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his laws. Thus saith God, Jehovah, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk thereon, I am Jehovah, have called Now I, Jehovah, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes. And of course, the big picture of the curing of the blind man, is, of course, is a picture of curing our spiritual blindness. You know, giving us eyes that we might see, giving us ears that we might hear. So to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prisons, and these people were imprisoned in the synagogues of that was controlled by these scribes and Pharisees, and that's the picture here. They were prisoners, and Christ has relieved them, released them, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am Jehovah, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto Jehovah a new song. The new song, of course, is the New Testament gospel. And his praise from the ends of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and the sea identifies with the world, we know that, and the ends of the earth brings us to our time period, you know, that there's a new song, and his praise will go from the ends of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, into the world, to bring that gospel, and all that is therein, the isles, which is the high places, you know, an island is a mountain in the sea, that comes up out of the water. And the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voices. The village that Kedar doeth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. That's us declaring the gospel. The inhabitants of Christ, the rock, the cornerstone that we are built upon, living stone to build up a dwelling place, a temple. And that's the temple that the Bible speaks about, the temple of the Lord. The body of Christ, both being the body of Christ in his flesh when he first came, and we being the body of Christ, you know, the built up okidome for the dwelling place of the Lord, a place not made with hands. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto Jehovah and declare his praises in the islands. Jehovah shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. And remember, you know, all these things that have taken place during the Great Tribulation, the fowls of the air, it is God that calls these fowls to a great supper feast that he has prepared. He has prepared these people for judgment. He has called the fowls of the heaven with false Christ, the false prophets, the false teachers, the false Christians, for a supper feast to devour the Christians, the so-called Christians, those who are called by his name. Let me pick up here, I guess, in verse 8. I am Jehovah, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Before the former things are come to pass, the new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto Jehovah a new song, and as I mentioned, the new song is the gospel, and his praises from the ends of the earth. You go down to the sea, to the world, to bring the gospel. All that are therein, the islands and the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voices to bring the gospel, the villages that Kedar doeth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rock, that being of Christ, sing unto them a new song. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. And that's in God's word. You know, you go up into a mountain to bring God's word and shout it out. Let them give glory unto Jehovah and declare his praise to the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy. A man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemy. I have long time holding my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs. And again, you know, he's speaking not only of the time of the Jew when he came and was bringing the gospel to the Jews and the disciples and so on, and judgment was upon them, but he's also speaking of our day. It's a dual message here. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herds. And we see that dual message again in the last 80 years that God speaks of, when the fig tree is given that last chance, Israel is given that last chance. And it's a 40-year period of testing, and they fail. And then the church is given a 40-year period of time of testing, and they fail. Because at the end of one end, which ends up in 1988, 40 years from 1948, okay, which is 40 years, and 1988 was the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of the judgment, the beginning of the famines and the pestilence, and the calling of the fowls of the air to devour. I will bring the blind by the way that they knew not. He is the way. Jesus is the way. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do to them and not forsake them. And he's talking about his elect. And in this case now, it's also the Gentiles, the people throughout all the world, from all nations, that would respond to the gospel. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, ye are our gods. Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf, as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as Jehovah's servant? Seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not. Jehovah is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hidden prison houses. They are for prey, and none delivereth them, for of spoil, and none saith, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil, and Israel to the robbers? Did not Jehovah, in other words, he brings the judgment. And of course, the Israel that he's focusing on, giving Israel to the robbers, is identifying with the false church of that day and the false church of today. And Jacob identifies with the unsaved in the church. And some of Jacob's, of course, will never become Israel, will never become born again. But I think more often the Bible refers to those people as strangers, but also Jacob. And we are all Jacob until we become born again. If we are God's elect, we start off as Jacob. Did not the Jehovah, he against whom we have sinned? Well, let me step back so we get this in proper context. Who gave Jacob for a spoil, and Israel to the robbers? Did not Jehovah, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto the law. Therefore, Therefore he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and it hath set him on fire round about, yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. 9:39. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into the world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus saith unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. I think that was a repeated two verses. We read that up a little earlier. Okay, we're moving now into chapter 10, John chapter 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door, Christ is the door, the way, the truth, the light, into the sheepfold, into the body, but climbeth up some other way, the same is as a thief and a robber. You know, they're coming to God in their own way. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. Most people, it seems, you know, when you listen very closely, sometimes I hear people teaching some good stuff, at least morally minded, and at least the milk of the word, maybe even a little bit of the meat of the word. But then they spoil it all by putting their works into it, that they had worked their way in. You know, we're saved by grace through faith, and not of works, lest any man should boast. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not in by the door, through Christ, into the sheepfold, into the body, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief or a robber. But he that entereth in through Christ is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You know, and I remember when I first became a Christian, and I started going to different churches, and people were talking about different things. There was a lot, big movement, even back in those days, and this was back in the 70s, the Lord might be coming. A lot of churches were talking about that. In any event, I remember listening to some of these teachers, preachers, pastors, and so on, and especially going from church to church, and hearing them speak, and it vexated me. There was something wrong. I didn't have knowledge. I didn't know the Bible. I had my Bible, but I didn't know it yet. I was trying to work through the Bible. But I didn't recognize the voice. You know, inside me there was something wrong. And when I did hear truth, when I did find teachers that were teaching the truth, I knew it was right. I saw that it was correct. It was my Father's voice. Now, I didn't realize this so much back in those days. I was perplexed back in those days. But as I look back and I see, you know, and especially when you read these words, my sheep hear my voice, and then they won't follow another. So, to him that the poor, let me see where we're at. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out of the world. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. We follow Christ, for they know his voice. We know the voice of our Father. And a stranger will they not follow. You know, it's twisted scriptures. It's false conclusions. It's a gospel of work. And so on. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that have ever come before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And that's be able to go out into the world and bring the gospel, and of course do what we have to do in the world with our families and whatever we have to do in life. But nevertheless, we're able to go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf, the false prophets, the false teachers, the false Christ, the false pastors, the scribes, the Pharisees, coming, and leave the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep, we're talking about the next fold, which is the New Testament era. He's still in the Old Testament, bringing the sheep of the Old Testament. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doeth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment received I of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again amongst the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil, and he's mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Okay, I don't know whether I'm going to... I guess we'll end it here. We only got a couple of minutes. It'll be the end of the time. So we'll pick up next week here in Psalms, looking in some of these things as far as Christ being the shepherd, the good shepherd, and other Old Testament scriptures where we see the prophets prophesying, and that, of course, prophecy is the signature of the Holy Spirit. Okay, with that, we'll end the study for the night. Good night. See you next time.
Good night.